If you believe it, give him a shout right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe it. And I want to get right into this word tonight. See if God will move tonight. We'll just see all will happen. I'm glad you could make it. Your sister back there. I'm glad you could make it too. But how are you doing? Do you have a better job now? You got a little better job, don't you? A little bit more time? Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad that you could make it here tonight. God bless you. God bless everybody. I'm glad you're all here, every last one of you. Amen? I want to share something with you. If you would read Proverbs chapter, go with me to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25, and I'm going to be reading out of the King James translation here, and I have one single point that I want to make with these few verses here. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. Where could I go but to the word? Amen. For all that I need. The word says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man is a snare. And my thought tonight, the title of my thought tonight is, don't get snared. Don't get caught. And if one thing I've seen over and over since my youth, when I got saved, is people getting snared. And I'm going to show some of the ways that I've seen it. Okay? And I want you to have an open heart and open mind. And I want to try to get you past that. The fear of man is a snare because it will keep you from fearing God. That's the most important reason. See, every day, we don't just have one choice a day, but multiple choices a day who we're going to serve. And I'm going to tell you, I have various problems, and I try to plan my day. If I know I'm going to be somewhere, I try to plan my day that, oh, God, help me to walk in the divine nature of God, the divine nature of your son, Jesus. Help me not to be caught up in an argument with anybody. See, I like to argue, and I have to crucify that desire. It's wrong. It's a wrong desire. It's sin. It's not just wrong. It's sin. But I can be tempted to do that. And then there are other things. And I'm going to share in the next few minutes, I'm going to share the most common snare that I have seen in the church since I was born again. I've never shared this message before, and so I guess we're being recorded, and that's good, but I'm glad for every Bible. I'm seeing Bibles here. That's what we need to do. See, there's nothing more powerful than you can read than the Bible. The Bible is where all the answers are for a born-again believer. See, you should not just feed on natural food. If I turn sideways, you could see I feed on natural food quite a bit, but not as much as I used to. But we should also be feeding. Man shall not live by bread alone. I'm telling you, man shall not live by McDonald's alone. Amen. But by every word, but by the word of God. By the promises specifically of God. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And I'm going to read those verses in the NLT Bible. And I want to make a point there. Luke chapter 12. And I like to turn there myself. You know, I just love turning the pages of the Bible. Man, it's just like you've got, it's like you've got gold. Luke chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5. Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that. But I tell you, whom to fear. Fear God. Why? Because God, who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Yes, he is the one to fear or to reverence or to respect or give orb's way to. Give it to God. Let God have his way. God knows what he's doing. God knows all about you. God knows all about me. God knows what we're thinking. That's just the truth. God knows what we're going to say. God knows the dangers. God knows how to keep you from harm. God knows how to bless you and give you joy and peace in your heart. Money doesn't know how to do that. The devil doesn't know how to do that. Relationships, earthly relationships, won't do that as much as it will with God. You have to have a relationship with God to have peace and joy, the God kind of peace and the God kind of joy. So think about that with me. And who in here needs prayer for anything tonight or a word from God? Anybody? Stand up if you need a word from God. I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Anybody? Howdy. Hello, sir. Hello. Let me help you up, man. I'm Angelo.
Hi, Charles.
Charles, thank you for coming. God bless you. And you are?
Mary.
Now, I know you, don't I?
I used to come.
How wonderful. God bless you. Yeah. Are you all doing okay? Tell me what, Charles, what do you need?
I got a hernia.
I had one. They're unpleasant.
Yes.
Okay. May we all just pray with you?
Sure.
Okay. You just, in fact, I think God wants, sit down. You sit down. This man don't feel good. This man, it's a chore for him to walk right now. I just want you to sit there. And I'm asking everybody to help me pray for this man. Who cares what kind of message we have? If people can come in here, yeah, come on up here. If you feel like God wants you to lay your hands on this man, come on up here and lay hands on him. What does it matter how we preach if people come in hurting and empty and they leave hurting and empty? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Charles, would it bother you if I pray in tongues? Does that bother you? Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for this man, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, nurse, wife, Millie, I'm waiting for you, sweetie. He's got a hernia. It's a painful one. It's hurting him. Okay, you get in here. And I'm going to pray in tongues. And then, Millie, I want you to pray in English. One of my girls, get a microphone over here, because whoever wants to pray. Charles, this is the most important reason we're here tonight. It's for you and others like you that need help. And how long have you had this hernia?
I don't know. Just recently.
Just recently? Okay.
Sometime, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to invite you to pray with me. Let's stir up the gifts. Sidi Ababa Balatisa Kabalanaya and Ovalanabo Kibria. Sibri and Ovalano Tosa Ko Baba Balanaya and Otisa Kibria. Labalatosa Ko Baba Lanaya and Ovalana Balatisa Kili. Sidi or Sibri and Ovalanabolatosa Kabalina. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take that microphone and put it in Sister Nurse Millie's mouth and pray, Mill.
Father, we pray right now for a hernia repair.
Yes,
a
God.
A supernatural hernia,
yes,
repair.
Father.
That hernia goes back into the abdominal wall where it belongs, Father, and that the muscle comes together, Father,
yes, Father,
and heals and covers over that area that's torn, Father, that you help him in this situation in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
amen
name.
Amen and amen.
Anybody else want to pray? Just say so into this microphone. Okay. Anybody have a word for Charles?
Yeah, just start calling it healed. When you wake up, every time you refer to it, refer to it as being healed. Don't refer to that you got a hernia anymore.
Yeah,
you have to
don't
claim it. Don't let nobody else claim it on you. When they ask you how that hernia is doing, tell them that it's gone.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Somebody say, thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Say, I came here for excitement tonight. It's coming. Hallelujah. Fear God. Luke 12. Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that. But I tell you whom to fear. Fear God, who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Yes, he is the one we should fear. And it's not a fear like he's the enemy. It's a fear like he's a dad. He's the creator, Father God. Have the same respect as you would a father that you love. Now, amen? Does that make sense? All right, then. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 in the King James translation of the Bible. Very, very powerful verse for every believer. This verse should be in your mind, on your lips. You should be able to pull it up. You should make yourself quote this verse. You should put this verse on your refrigerator in whatever language that you like and say it and say it over and say it over until it becomes a part of your body. Does that make sense, Jill? Amen. Are you doing good tonight? Good. I'm so glad to see you. How was the food giveaway? Good? Worked out good, didn't it? How many of you love the new Manna Center? Hallelujah. My gosh. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For the word says here, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, let me tell you, some fear is not emotional. Some fear is a spirit. And it's a spirit that's given by a specific. And it ain't ever God. It's always the devil. Because God has not given you the spirit of fear. But God has given you the spirit of the Holy Ghost, which is power, love, and a sound mind. A mind that can work no matter what. I'm going through. Bless God, I'm going through. I'll pay the price no matter what others do. I'll take the way of my Lord's anointed view. I will take the way of my Lord's anointed view. This is what I'm going to make myself believe more than my circumstances. I swear to you, if you'll do that, your circumstances will change in the name of Jesus. I'll take the way of my Lord's anointed view. I started out with Jesus in 1971. And bless God, I'm going through. Somebody say glory if you feel the same way. Well, hallelujah, I feel like I'm in a good place. I feel like I'm in a place where people can get this. Now, I'm going to tell you what's happened. What I've seen, one of the most common fears that I've seen in the church that is highly detrimental, and I see it a lot. And I started seeing it as soon as I started going to church, and I lived under it for a while. The Satan had me under it. You know, I got saved, and then God had to straighten me out. And he's still straightening me out. And this is what it is. Here's the fear that I've seen in the church. The most common fear. Many times, I'll be walking out the door. People say, Brother Angelo, can I talk to you over here? I say, yeah, sure, of course you can. He said, you know, that was me that you were talking about. So go ahead and pray for me now. And you know, I'm not going to be rude to people. I haven't been brought here to be rude to you. I've been brought here to help you. See, I have been equipped to help you, not to ruin your life, to help your life. And I'll do it for the same reason, because I want to walk in that divine nature. But very seldom have I seen that prayer work after the Spirit had already called you out. I'm just telling you what I've seen. Now, I'm not the only one in here. Some of you might be able to say, well, man, it works all the time. Well, good. I haven't seen it work all the time. I haven't seen it work much. See, and you know what? So here's God. You're in a service, okay? And God is speaking maybe just generally to everybody or to one person. And that person won't respond. They won't move to it. See, God is not a violent street gang type of a fella. The Spirit of God is gentle. The Word says, don't grieve the Spirit. The Word says, don't quench the Spirit. When you're in any church service and you feel something holding you down where you can hardly get up, I guarantee you that is Satan. That is a spirit. That is a wrong spirit holding you back when you could do better. And you cannot afford the luxury of having the spirit of fear be stronger than you. Because the Word says in 1 John, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And what I'm hoping to accomplish here tonight is set somebody free. Set somebody free from that spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to do it right here and now. Anybody, if you feel like that spirit's giving you trouble at times, I want you to stand up right now, and I'm going to pray for you. In fact, what I want you to do is come right up here. Come right up here with me. If that spirit holds you back and you've told people, boy, that was for me. That was for me. And I just decided, pray for me now instead. Why? See, that's not God. That's not the way God works. It just isn't. I'm sorry. All right. How wonderful to let the Word of God affect your life and something that's tormented you more than once. Yeah. I believe we can get free from that tonight. I believe that with all my heart. The one thing you should never be afraid of, I guarantee you, when you tell your kids, get dressed, we're going to McDonald's, we're going to have a Happy Meal, they don't say, oh, dear God, I don't know if I can make that or not. What do? They say, you bet, Mom. And I want an apple pie with it, too. Amen? All right, everybody, let's hear. This is who we've been able to touch with this message so far. Come over here. Come right over here with me. Take each other by the hand, and Angel and young lady, what's your last name?
Grissom.
Okay. Yeah, I remember you. I remember your face. Yeah. I want everybody to stretch your hands forth here. You might have a word for one of these or all of these up here. But right now, let's just pray. See, what's the sense of preaching if nobody acts on the Word? What's the sense of preaching if nothing ever happens? I'm telling you, but it does happen. Father, in Jesus' name right now, whatever that was you put on me, whew, I impart, look at me, I impart that to you and you and you and you. Right now, you do not ever have to be afraid to move in the way I just described. It's only one way. There's a lot of things that the devil can put on us, but this is the beginning of getting free from every last stinking one of them. Amen? Okay. Amen. See, that's right. She claimed it. She's claiming it. Okay. All right. Y'all stretch your hands this way, please, in the audience. And turn around. Turn around and face these people. And I'm going to tell you, there's something different about them, about these four people. I can sense it. Now, in the name of Jesus, I want to explain something about preaching. Look at me, everybody. It's not worth anything if nobody acts on the word. It's not worth. So the preacher's job is to try to get people to act on the word in such a way that their lives are changed. Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. Yet, he made something beautiful of my life. And I'm telling you what, I ain't perfect, but you should have seen me before he got a hold of me. Hallelujah. God bless you, brave people. God bless you. Go and sit down changed. Remember that. You changed. Marker on your October the 2nd, 2024. You changed. You changed in Jesus' name. Let's believe it together. If you would, fellas, put up Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1 in the NLT. And this is commonality. This is the way Christians should be. This is the real thing. Everything else is phony baloney. I'm going to tell you that right now. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. I'm reading it in the New Living Translation where the word says this. The wicked run away when nobody's even chasing them. They run. They go to bed scared. They wake up scared. They're thinking the worst. You got to change your stinking thinking. Now, I stole that from Emmett Spencer. He don't mind. He's passed away. But before he passed away, listen to this. Judy, his wife, called me. Said, Angelo, the doctor just told me to call in all of Emmett's people because he ain't going to make it. Would you pray, Angelo? And as I was praying at the threshold of my house, the Lord says, man of God, put on your best suit, go to Sparks Hospital, and do what I tell you to do. Emmett had heart problems. I met him on 8/8/88. He had heart problems then. This was a little bit later than that, a couple years later. And it was just something known, and he asked me if I'd help him begin to pray. He didn't, you know, he said it was serious. And I began to pray with him, and I went into the hospital. He was in the intensive care unit at Sparks Hospital. And he was in a kind of semi-coma, kind of going in and going out. But as soon as I walked through that door, he came out of that. And he told me, brother, I've been walking with Jesus. And then he told me some things. It made the hair turn up on the back of my neck. And I said, well, Emmett, I'm going to tell you something even greater than that. I said, God's called me to come here because it's not God's will for you to die right now, Emmett. It's just not. Now, we're in the hospital. You know what? I've got a doctor. I believe in them. They can do some things. I got another doctor, the great physician. He can do more. Yeah. Brother Autry used to say to me, yeah, there's one clap offering. Good. God, you got one person that thinks that's pretty good. Here's what Brother Autry used to tell me. Angelo, he was a lot older than me. By the way, every time he preached, he used 70, 80, 90 Bible verses. He said, God has a 100% healing rate if you can get him to take your case. Let me say that again. See, sniveling and cringing like a puppy that just got spanked for pooping in the house and wetting all over yourself ain't going to get it. See, you either know that God is your friend and your Savior and your Father, or you got some work to do to make yourself until you believe that. So I went in and I said, Emmett, what do you want? He knew me. Later he told me, he said, everybody else was in there crying. It's such a shame. He's so young and he's going to die. All his faith healing buddies. I just asked him, what do you want, Emmett? He knew what he wanted. He said, I want a new heart. So I went over to the window looking out the window and I began to talk to the devil. I said, you know, spirit, you're a lying spirit. Before I ever came here, God told me about you before I got here. He said, you're a lying spirit. You're a lying spirit. Emmett's not about to die. You're going to see. And I began to dance around Emmett's bed because the Lord said, do you believe that, Angelo? I said, yes, Father, I do. He said, then you dance. You dance like David danced when he brought the tabernacle. Oh, when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Dance like you mean it. And I begin to dance, dance, dance. Emmett just kind of looked around. All of a sudden, he put his hands up. He couldn't do that when I got there. Hallelujah. And I just kept dancing. And a beautiful little Native African-American nurse come into the room. And she saw that. And she almost dropped her tray. And the first thing she did, she went over to the window. And she pulled those curtains shut. I just kept dancing and talking and praying in tongues and believing God. I said, Lord, me and Emmett, we're believing tonight that Emmett's going to be free. Emmett's going to do okay. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but somebody has. Somebody has, and you've got to get over that in Jesus' name. When I got through with all my dancing, I said, Emmett? He goes, yeah. I said, that's all I got to say to you. And I walked out of there 6 days later. 6 days later, he walked out of that hospital. Amen. That's the beginning of the story. He went home. Did the devil let up on him? No. He went home, and there was a tornado. Tore his house up pretty bad. But then he had a doctor's appointment with his chief physician. They said, Mr. Spencer, you know, they have to be careful because they're afraid of lawsuits. These guys was trying to keep me a few years ago when I had a little problem, and I said, I feel like you're trying to keep me here against my will. And they immediately called Millie and my wife and tried to get her to say, there's something wrong with him. If you just sign, we can just keep him in here. She goes, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, you don't know who you've got in there. No, I won't do that at all. That's how he feels. You know what they did? They looked it over, and this is what they told me. Sir, Angelo, Dr. Tony Mon, the number one neurologist in Arkansas, said, I've got a physical therapist. He's going to come and walk with you and see how you do, and we'll just take it from there. I said, fine. And I just started walking in the hospital, just started walking, just kept walking in the hospital. And I noticed the guy, the physical therapist, got further and further behind. I just kept walking. I just kept going. I just kept walking. I just kept believing God. I knew it. See, I know my Redeemer liveth. And when I come out of this, I'm going to come out of it like pure gold. Hallelujah. And I just kept walking and walking. I noticed all of a sudden he ran out of breath. The therapist ran out of breath. He said, Mr. Florenciano, he said, could we sit down and talk for a while? Let's just sit down. After that, They put me in another wing, another place in that, a different building, and they began to let me go. And I thought, man, this has gone for about 6 months in here to about 2 or 3 more days. Well, got in there. Casey And Nana just happened to come. Remember that? It just happened to come up there. All of a sudden, they had the paperwork. They let me go that day. Two or three. You either think I'm lying or you think, well, I don't want to clap. I got the spirit of fear. I'm not going to do that. What would it take to make you happy tonight? Well, maybe this will. And it went into his doctor. The doctor said, Mr. Spencer, see, they have to be careful. I don't blame them. People are so happy. He said, I want to show you your, now this is a true account. This ain't no story. This is an account of what happened because two men got together and believed the promises of God. He said, this is your heart. This is why we came to our conclusions. It's damaged. It's damaged to where I think he had his second or third heart attack. I don't have to brag or make up things about this, but he had more than one heart attack. And he said, that's how come we came to these conclusions. Now he said, Mr. Spencer, look at me, everybody. He said, I don't know where you got this heart. I don't know where you got it, but there ain't nothing wrong with this heart. A few more. Now, what if that was true? I'm telling you it is true. How much longer did that new heart do, Emmett? 20 years more. And I guarantee you, he gave the devil hell for those 20 and begged me to come. He said, there's an Italian guy. He danced around my bed. I believed God with him. And he lit 20 more years. The last time, here's what happened. Some of you, I think, might have been here when we brought Emmett here 20 years later. And I brought him, put him up here in a chair, and I danced around. Was anybody here? Put your hand up if he was here. There's one hand. Anybody? Okay. You was here. You saw that, yeah. And I danced around his bed again. You know why? I just wanted to make sure it was a little bit more what God had in mind. It didn't work that time. My brother went to be with Jesus. My daughter came with me. We attended his funeral. But let me say something to you. The kingdom of God ain't like this world. This world, you got to bully people and demand your own way and do this and do that. But as the scriptures say, the wicked's running when nobody's even chasing them. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, let me see where I'm at here. Hebrews 4:16, King James Version, if you could put it up, fellas, says this. Let us therefore, the devil's wondering, what are they there for? I'm wondering too. What are you here for? Let us therefore come boldly under the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, I've got a couple more verses. The Holy Ghost says right here, son, the Holy Ghost, the same one that told me, you put your best suit on in time of need, in time of need, in time of need, let us come boldly in time of need, that we can find help. Answered prayer. And I'm just going to say this to everybody in here. If you have a need, and you're not absolutely afraid of your own shadow. If you don't have a need, that's fine. But if you have a need and you're going to start trying to come boldly, I want you to come up here. If there's anybody. If there's not, no hard feelings, that's fine. I don't care if you've already been up here. If you've got a need, if you've got a need, if you don't have a need, I don't have needs every day, Kelly, but most of them, I'm just telling you the truth. My name is Jimmy, and I'll take what you, that's right. She's been hearing that since she was that big. My name is Jimmy, and I'll take what you give me. Now, seriously, if you've got a need, here comes my wife. I want her to just come over here. Thank you, Father in heaven. Thank you, Father, for your word. It ain't me. It ain't any man. It's you, God, and it's your word. It's your word, Father. It's your word. I want you to say with me that are up here, and even if you're back there, I want you to say, Father in heaven, I want you to say, Father in heaven, from this day forward, teach me how to come boldly. Teach me how to believe your promises. Now stop right there for a second. It was brought to my attention today that we promised. I think Kelly had us. Pastor Kelly had us promise. Was it Pastor Kelly? Had us promise to read your Bible for 7 days. Okay. I'm going to tell you what. I got something better than that. I want you to read your Bible for the rest of your life. I want you to. There's 7,600 promises in the Bible to mankind. There's about almost 9,000 altogether to the earth and everything. I want you to say, Father in heaven, from this day forward, deliver me from the spirit of fear. Replace it with power, love, and a sound mind. Now everybody take each other by the hand. I'm going to come along here. I feel something in this hand right now. I feel the power of God in this hand. I'm going to come and I'm going to put it on every one of you. In Jesus' name. 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 I loose that power. The power that gave Emmett 20 more years with a broken, messed up heart. In Jesus' name. I believe in Jesus' name. I loose your power on your church, on your children, God. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah and amen. And now, would you